Hi, welcome to the Frihof Institute of Progressive Halakha. I'm Rabbi Mark Wyshovsky with the 12-minute shiur number 49, The Death of King Saul and Physician-Assisted Suicide. We're working from a source sheet that you can download at our website. That's www.frihofinstitute.org/podcast. Does the halakha support medical assistance in dying, which is sometimes known as physician-assisted suicide? Those who argue yes point to certain stories in the biblical and rabbinic literature that they say support the idea, kind of like legal precedents. One of the most frequently cited precedents or stories is the narrative of the death of Shaul HaMelech, of King Saul, who at the end of his final battle falls on his sword to avoid capture by the Philistines. We can read the story in 1 Samuel chapter 31, which begins on line 3 of the source sheet, and let's pay special attention to verse 4, lines 7 and 8 in the Hebrew and 13 and 15 through 15 in the English. Saul says to his arms bearer, "Draw your sword and run me through. Pen yavo'u ha'arelim ha'ele udkaruni vehit alulu vi. Lest these uncircumcised ones come and run me through, vehit alulu vi, and have their way with me." Now, we're not exactly sure what "have their way with me" means, but whatever it is, torture, sexual abuse, it probably won't be pleasant. V'lo ava noseh chelav ki yare ma'od. Okay, so the arms bearer, in his great fear, refuses to do this. Vayikach Shaul et hacherev vayipol aleha. So Saul took the sword and fell upon it. Now, there is some uncertainty as to whether Saul actually succeeded in taking his own life. In the very next chapter, 2 Samuel 1, somebody else claims to have finished him off. But no matter, the bottom line is that Saul makes a decision for suicide in the difficult situation that he faced. And we know that suicide is normally forbidden because of a midrash on Genesis chapter 9, verse 5, which begins on line 20. Ve'ach edimchem lenafshotechem edrosh. Moreover, for your own blood guilt, I will require your lives. I will require it by means of beasts or by means of human beings. By means of a fellow human being will I require a guilty person's life. Okay, this certainly sounds like a prohibition against murder, and it was issued to the Bnei Noach, to Noah and all his descendants after the flood. But the Midrash focuses on the phrase, "Ach edimchem linafshotechem," which it reads as "your own blood guilt," or "blood guilt for your own lives." So it concludes, "Lahavi et ha'honek atzmo." This comes to include in the prohibition the one who takes his own life, literally the one who strangles himself. Okay, so suicide is forbidden. But is it forbidden in all cases? Well, no, says the Midrash, because the little word that begins the verse, "ach," which we translate as "but" or "however," is understood as a mi'ut, a limiting particle, which comes to exclude something from the general prohibition announced in the verse. And here, says the Midrash, the word comes to exempt or exclude from the prohibition the suicides of King Saul and of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, the friends of Daniel, who walked into the fiery furnace. Now, we can understand why Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah are exceptions to the rule against suicide, because theirs is a case of religious martyrdom, of dying al kiddush Hashem, to sanctify God's name. But why is Saul an exception to the rule? For an explanation, we can turn to the commentary of Radak, that's Rabbi David Kimchi, to 1 Samuel, beginning on line 41. Lo chata Shaul behorgo atzmo. Saul committed no sin when he killed himself. All right, why not? Well, for one thing, he'd already been told by the prophet Shmuel in the episode of the Witch of Endor back in chapter 28 that he was going to die in battle, so he knows his death is inevitable and it looks pretty imminent. Moreover, says Radak, Tov hayash yaharog hu atzmo, v'lo yit'alulu vo ha'arelim. It was better to kill himself rather than allow those uncircumcised Philistines to torture and abuse him. Saul wants to die quickly. He wants to escape the suffering, right? So here we have a rationale that would apply to the patient confronting a terminal illness. Why not put an end to one's life now in order to avoid the suffering that will inevitably accompany one's death from this disease or condition? But Radak's interpretation is challenged by most halachic writers who read the story differently. We're going to start with Rabbi Yosef Karo in his monumental Beit Yosef commentary to the Torah, beginning in line 59. Karo preserves an alternative reading of that midrash, where the word ach does not limit the prohibition, but actually doubles down on it. As for the king's act of suicide, line 62, Vishaul ben Kish shelo biratzon chachamim asah, and Saul acted even though the sages disapproved. Now, this doesn't mean that there was a Beit Din, that there were rabbis standing there on the mountain during the battle telling him not to do this, but rather that rabbinic tradition teaches that Shaul acted wrongly in taking his life. Now, yeah, this would seem to contradict the plain sense of that midrash in Bereishit Rabbah, but it does express a clear halachic discomfort with the thought of suicide, even in an extreme situation. Meanwhile, the Ritva, one of the leading Rishonim or medieval Talmud commentators, has this explanation for Shaul's suicide. We're on line 69. Shechibel ba'atzmo mipnei shahaya mityare shema ya'aviruhu al dat. Saul killed himself out of fear, yes, but out of fear that his captors would force him to sin, that is, to commit idolatry. In other words, the Philistines would have tortured him, not simply to torture him, but in order to get him to pay homage to their god, that is, to commit an act of avodah zarah, for which the halacha says the law is yehareg v'al ya'avor. One must never do this, even if one is threatened with death. Now, there is some support in the halachic literature for suicide in cases like this. And while we can't go into that here, Ritva's comment does suggest that some rabbinic opinion viewed Shaul's death as a case of martyrdom, of dying al kiddush Hashem. And if so, Saul's situation differed greatly from that of terminal illness, and so it would not serve as a precedent for assisted dying or physician-assisted suicide. A second halachic understanding of Saul's death is the one we find in the Maharshal, that is, Rabbi Shlomo Luria, in his work Yam Shel Shlomo, beginning on line 77, where he reminds us, as if we didn't know this already, that the king of Israel is not like you and me. He's not like you and me in two ways. For one thing, should he be captured and subjected to torture and abuse, the Israelites would make a desperate and doomed attempt to rescue him. Thus, his suicide is justified in order to save many lives. Second, for the king of Israel to be humiliated in this fashion would be a chilul Hashem, a desecration of God's name. So Shaul falls on his sword in order to forestall this. Either way, the case of Saul is unique to Melech Yisrael, to the king, and it's not a precedent for the rest of us, for those of us dealing with terminal illness. The predominant halachic interpretation of the story of Saul's death is the one that we find in the Shulchan Aruch, beginning in line 92. The halachic term for suicide is ha-me'abed atzmo lada'at, one who takes their own life intentionally, with thoughtful premeditation. If one does so, then, as punishment, one's family is not to engage in the customary rituals of avelut, or mourning. Now, a child or a minor who, by definition, lacks da'at, the competence to form a legally binding intention, a child is therefore incapable of committing the act which the halacha defines as suicide. And the same goes for an adult who is anus kishaul hamelech, who is under duress like King Saul. We do not withhold any of the rights of mourning from that person because we regard their suicide as non-intentional. It was anus, it was coerced by forces beyond their rational control. Rabbi Yechiel Michal Epstein, the author of the early 20th century Aruch HaShulchan, explains, beginning on line 102. He's talking about the tendency in the halakha to adopt every possible pretext to presume that one killed him or herself out of fear or great pain, or that they became insane, so as to permit the suicide's relatives to undertake the normal rituals and obligations of mourning. Now, why do we do this? Well, we're on line 108. We do it because it is quite unlikely that one could do such a horrendous thing, that is, one could commit suicide with a clear mind. That is, rational suicide is virtually defined out of existence. And the archetypical case or precedent for this is Shaul HaMelech. Saul, and by extension almost every other person who commits suicide, is exempt from blame for taking his life, for he did so under ones, under coercion or duress, and one is held liable for transgression only if one does it lida'at, intentionally. But exemption is not the same thing as permission. Were one to ask in advance whether suicide is a permitted act, if it's perfectly okay to do it, the halakha would say no. And if that applies to the individual who wishes to commit suicide, it would certainly apply as well to one who wants to assist in that person's suicide, since by definition, the one who assists, let's say a physician or a family member, is not operating under the same condition of mental duress or onus. So, does the story of Saul's death serve as a halachic precedent for physician-assisted suicide or medical assistance in dying? Well, maybe, but only if you insist on that reading of the story and ignore the fact that Jewish tradition, and especially the halachic tradition, interprets it differently. This doesn't mean that you can't make a good Jewish argument for medical assistance in dying, but simply that the story of the death of King Saul doesn't really help make that case. This has been the 12-Minute Shiur number 49 from the Frihof Institute of Progressive Halakha. Thanks for learning with us. Lehitraot.